You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. TOJ Pod episode today. We'll have a ton of content over the weekend when I get back from Indianapolis. Live from the Combine, this is the Jake. No, Jake hasn't joined me. We've been spending a ton of time together here in Indy, both during the day, some of these pressers and things like that, and some long nights. Drinks have been flowing. Jake, how we doing? How we feeling? We're into day three at this point, full day three.
Man, it's been a blast, Will. You know, this is my first ever combine that I've covered doing the YouTube show out here for it, but it's been a great experience. Just like if you're a football junkie like you and I are, just getting everyone in one spot, whether you're a GM or a coach or a scout or obviously a media type, everyone's here. You never know who you're going to run into. You know, last night we're hanging out at the bar. We had a great spot at Prime. I don't know how we lucked into this table that we just, you know, held court at the whole night. And Brian Schottenheimer comes running on by, and I just scream out at him, "Hey, Brian, 2009, 2010, New York Jets for life." And he dapped me up and thought it was hilarious. So there's just things like that happen. And as a Jet fan, I love it. So it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, no, 100%. There's I'll share some of the fun stories. Ones that are able to be shared, I'll share on Saturday's longer form. So there's been a lot that's happened since I did kind of a combine preview since we got here. I get off the plane. Lakin Tomlinson is released, Monday night. Quick thoughts on it are basically I was surprised they cut him. But at the same time, you know, as I'm sure you're going to say as well, if the best you could say about somebody is that they're durable and they're a nice guy, they're not an $18 million a year player. I thought maybe they'd restructure him so they don't have to replace three guys, but I think this leads to multiple 2 to 3 offensive line additions on the interior from free agency in the draft and a new left guard. As much as play wasn't great, it will be hard to replace a guy that's going to play 17 games a year.
100%. Look, I actually love the fact that they are doing this because I think it would have been really easy for the Jets to say, hey, at least he plays. We only need to find two starters on the O-line if we keep Lakin. And the fact that they cut him shows me that they are going to be ultra-aggressive in using what I believe will be a combination of both free agency, Will, and the draft to fix this O-line. People could say, well, they need now three starters on the O-line. Okay, well, Lakin's not good. So if you're going to just put him out there because he's a good guy and plays a lot, like, that's not what it's about in 2024 and what's a do-or-die year for the Jets. So, you know, they could have maybe offered him a pay cut, and I don't know if he would have taken it or not, but the fact that they went out there and just said, hey, we're moving on, we're saving the $8 million, we're going to find a way to get better there, I think it's a good start to the offseason for the Jets.
Yeah, it's just disappointing to have so much dead money, on that deal combined with Lawson, combined eventually with Zach Wilson, which we'll get to now here in a second. Not a shock, CJ Uzomah will probably add in some dead money as well. I think there's some from like Mecole Hardman, unfortunately, which we'll also get to.
You mean that rat Zach, bastard?
Yeah, yeah. Zach Wilson, obviously, it's been done. We've known it's been done. There's no surprise there. But Joe Douglas, quote-unquote, officially, you know, said that Zach's, seeking a trade. Again, I expect a 2024, this draft, maybe it's a 2025 compensatory pick. You know, a six-rounder, the Jets six-rounder and Zach for a fifth, or the Jets package multiple of their seventh-rounders to move up into round six. Like, I just – that's what we're getting here. Like, I don't think that's much news, but I had to – you know, I feel like we had to hit on Zach. Zach Wilson's time as a Jet is damn near officially over.
Thank God. And it's not even being anti-Zach, Will. It's just – It's time, man. We knew this was coming. I know it form, you know, it's for a formality at this point, but great, work out a deal. Hopefully they can find the deal and save the $5 million on the cap and you move forward, man. I mean, when Woody Johnson came out at the owners meetings or NFL honors, excuse me, and said, we need a backup. We did not have one last year. I mean, come on now. It the writing's been on the wall for months and it's the right move. And it stinks it worked out the way it did. No one's happy with that, but it is what it is.
Yeah, look, you know, it's crazy. I'm thinking to myself, there has been so much Jets news for like this week that it's been crazy in the last 3 days. Obviously posted the Deion Dawkins video talking a bunch of shit about the Jets. I don't want to get too much into that. I like the fact that, you know, there's a real rivalry there. These teams don't like each other. I think it's fine. Like, I'm good with it. I don't have a problem with it. Yes, is it embarrassing to do a podcast with your shirt off when you weigh 400 pounds? Yeah, that's probably not the way I would approach things, but I don't know. I don't think every Jets fan is the biggest Michael Clemens fan either. I think it was more weird to me that he didn't just go after Clemens. He went after the entire team. I think that's where my was like, wow, okay. It was a bit of an aggressive comment. But I loved all the trolling the Jets have done, since then.
When you do a podcast shirtless and you're not Rick Ross, I mean, you're just opening yourself up for ridicule. So I love what the Jets have done. You know, Sauce and Garrett have had some great Instagram posts or tweets, whatever, about it. It's been fun. You're right. It adds to the rivalry. And ultimately, as Joe Douglas said the other day, you want respect, you got to earn respect. Jets got to win games, man. They got to win the division. They got to, you know, play playoff teams and beat playoff teams and have a winning record. And, you know, the Bills have done that. Say whatever you want about the Bills, but they've won this division now 4 years in a row. The Jets got to take it for them. So good. You know, no one's gonna pick the Jets this year. That's for sure. They're gonna be flying under the radar, and I think that's good for this team. But any extra motivation you can get from the Deion Dawkins, I think it's a good thing overall, not bad.
Yeah, you'll take that. I guess the biggest story. Actually, we'll talk about Douglas's presser. I want to finish with Hardman. There's so much to unpack there. Douglas's presser was kind of what we expected, right? We talked about the Zach thing. We talked about not surprising, but Bryce Huff will obviously not be tagged. And Joe Douglas has been pretty clear about that. I think he's going to hit the open market. There's a chance maybe they get an 11th-hour deal done here. Connor Hughes said on your show he thinks the market's more in the $12 to $14 million a year range. I've heard a higher number than that. But, you know, regardless, you know, that's kind of what we saw a little bit there. Douglas mentioned ADT will play one spot next year once they make a decision, which is pretty clear to me, right tackle. I think based on the strength of this free agency class, it's like ADT is going to play our right tackle, and we're just waiting to announce it. Trying to think, what else did I miss here? There wasn't much. They're not going to really be hiring any new coaching, you know, guys on the coaching staff. It seems like quarterback coach, et cetera, front office, doesn't seem like Chad Alexander and Rex Hogan to really be replaced. I guess that was kind of news there. But other than that, Jake, am I missing anything? There wasn't a lot to take out of it. Not really shocking.
Yeah, I guess the, you know, the AVT stuff is notable, but I think some of that too, Will, could be like, well, we're not definitely taking a left tackle at 10 or a tackle at 10, because what if AVT slots into that role? So maybe they're like trying to protect themselves a little bit from what allegedly happened last year with the Broderick Jones, you know, trade scenario. But I'm kind of with you. I mean, Douglas kind of low-key being like, well, we're not adding a quarterback coach, so it's kind of like you have Todd Downing and Nate Hackett for the quarterbacks, and Keith Carter obviously still employed on the offensive line, so there's that. But I think for the most part, it was a pretty routine press conference. I think people saying Douglas sounded so morose and so down, like he's kind of stoic.
I didn't get that.
So I'm not really going to criticize him for that. We're going to know in a couple weeks. Did the Jets get it done in free agency? Did they make the right moves to put Aaron Rodgers in the best possible spot? So that's kind of what I took from it. Obviously, the, you know, Mecole Hardman stuff that we're going to end on, as you brought up, that's certainly a headline stemming from that for sure.
Yeah, no, it's – I guess there's a lot to unpack with the Hardman thing. I said it this morning. I think I said it on radio last night or this morning, whatever it was. Like, I don't – do I blame him for a lot of what he said in terms of Hackett and some of the Aaron Rodgers stuff in terms of, you know, how Aaron Rodgers-centric it was, or – and not necessarily being a bad thing, just that it kind of all fell apart, or the defense having much more structure than the offense. Like, that stuff did not, you know, bother me or whatever. I don't really know what was the point was talking about it, but, you know, it is what it is. I didn't think that was a big deal. Did I think him saying that he self-admittedly, like, kind of quit on them because of a finger injury and, you know, kind of he got beat out by, you know, Xavier Gibson opening day and then just didn't want to play anymore? Like, that was a little shocking because – yeah, it doesn't look great for the Jets that's kind of what unfolded. But you also self-admittedly kind of quit. And, like, I don't know that that was the best move. So I want, let's start there before we get to, you know, the kind of the two big things, I guess.
100%. I mean, Mecole Hardman admitted on a podcast he quit after Aaron Rodgers went down. He said that he was checked out. He also, on this podcast, Will, said that he asked the GM of his old team, Brent Veach, and Patrick Mahomes, his old quarterback, to come and get him. He implied, and then since tried to say it wasn't true, but it's on the record, you could listen to it, that he spoke with them. That is illegal. So if I'm the Jets, and I did right by Mecole Hardman by trading him to a place he wanted to go, I would be red hot. And then we find out that he's allegedly leaking game plans to the Eagles and the Chiefs. I hear all that, and if I'm the Jets, I'm going after Mecole. I'm going after the Chiefs. I'll have the NFL step in and just to try and, you know, make an example out of him. Because honestly, he's so stupid, if you think about it. He might have just blackballed himself from the league. Unless the Chiefs take him back, what team in their right mind would ever sign a guy who at this stage of his career is closer to a wide receiver 4 or 5 than a 2 or a 3? And the second he gets beat out by a different player or gets into it with a coach, what if he leaks the game plan to that team? Like, he completely blackballed himself with these comments if the game plan stuff is true. But then the tampering stuff is true. It's on the record. He said it. If I'm the NFL, I look into it. And here's what I propose too, Will. If I'm Roger Goodell, this is what I'm doing. Zach Wilson for Patrick Mahomes, straight up. Problem solved.
Yeah, Chris Jones for a fifth. now, look, I think the tampering stuff, does it bother me? No, because it doesn't bother me just from the aspect of you've been around Indy the last couple of days. You hear a lot of stuff and a lot of agents talking to a lot of teams and kind of gauging the market and these different things. It's more that he said it and then was like, I didn't say that. And I'm like, it's on video. You said it. You laughed about it. You thought it was funny. And then you got heat for it. You know, I like Thomas Morstead's tweet. That was awesome. Sauce and these other guys, Kenny Aboah, kind of, you know, aired him out on the other side of things, which you mentioned, the game plan stuff, if true, again, we don't know if it's true or not, but if that's true, pretty shitty, in my opinion. And again, this is a guy who's a free agent. It didn't make a whole lot of sense. It's crazy in a different universe. He doesn't catch that touchdown if the Niners just finished off the game, the drive before, and he's never on the Pivot podcast. He never says a word about this, and I don't know if it ever even gets out. But because he did, you know, got a bunch of publicity, rightfully so, he caught the game when he touched down the Super Bowl. I just can't believe that he not only like admitted that, but then a lot of the Jets players probably sat there and were like, we're not going to bring this up, we'll squash it, we'll keep it in house. And then he spouts off on them and they're like, well, actually, you know what, never mind, F you, and we're going to air your stuff out.
He's a fool. The Jets did right by him, even with the speculation that he leaked their game plan, and you're going to bash them? And also, you're bashing Brent Boyer of all the – you want to bash Hackett?
Yeah, that was weird too. I've not heard a single person in, what, 10 years he's been there, 11 years, whatever it's been?
Other than, like, Jeff Obrick, Brent Boyer is probably, like, one of the most, like, beloved coaches on this, like, staff right now, and he's survived multiple regimes because he's good at his job. And he comes across so poor with his comments that, oh, well, he had a pinky injury and he wasn't able to catch punts against the Chiefs because, you know, they didn't tell him ahead of time. He might have to – like, it's weak, man. He admitted he quit on the team. He admitted he tampered. And now he maybe leaked the game plan and he knows he did all this and he's going to air out the Jets on a podcast. He is a fool. If you're Mecole Hardman, you shot yourself in the foot way worse than Plaxico ever did back in 08.
Yeah. I talked to a few people last night who work in the NFL and in the front office side and said, I'm good on Mecole Hardman. I just with no, like, you can't seriously, that it just, it's, it was dumb. And if the, again, we don't know if the game plan thing is true, but it seems like it's pretty true. The Jets are pretty vocal about it. Funny enough, Zach Wilson's like two of his best games in his Jets career in this year were the Eagles and Eagles and Chiefs games. But I want to kind of finish with this. I got a couple minutes here left, and again, I'll have a much longer form, Saturday, kind of unpacking the notebook, quote unquote, and we'll get some of these testing times in and different things like that, some weigh-ins by the time Saturday TOJ Talks, episode will come out. Jake's had a huge week in terms of guests, by the way. Make sure you're checking out Jake's channel as always. The great Rich Eisen stopped at dinner by last night by our table and said, Jake, I'm coming on the show tomorrow, and locked it in. So credit to Rich amongst a million other people Jake's had on. But
Yeah, I said, Will, I said, you know, Rich, you know, Rich came over. He begged to come on the show. And I said, Rich Eisen, if you want to come on the show, we could find some time to get you on. No problem. And, you know, we'll see what we could do. We think we could make it work for you, Rich.
Yeah, no, Rich has been awesome. And, you know, obviously a Jets fan, reps the Jets fans well. But
yep.
I guess what's your sense? What's your sense going into free agency now? Do you feel more or less confident kind of in the team, you know, being around Indy, hearing what kind of different conversations, all this different stuff this week, first 3 days, 4 days in Indy, do you feel more confident or less confident in this team being good next year? I'm very much on the, I'm not sure if they're going to be awesome or terrible, but I just don't see 9-8. I think they're good or they're really good or they're not. Are you kind of in the same boat?
I don't know where I'm at. That's a great question. I'll tell you what, I'm confident that they're going to be ultra aggressive in free agency on the O-line. And I obviously need to see how it will play out. Because when they signed Lakin Tomlinson, to be fair to the Jets, I thought that was a really good signing. I'm like, you signed a Pro Bowl guy, same scheme, same position. He's just going to come over and do the same thing with the Jets. It will work. And obviously it was terrible. So I'm confident they're going to be aggressive. Well, I think they're going to operate with that sense of urgency we as fans are dying to see them operate with. But I'd be lying to you if I would sit here and say I feel great about them being, you know, an awesome team next year. I think if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, they're going to be very good because I still think he's going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league. I just don't picture Aaron Rodgers, when he's playing, ever being bad. But they need a lot, and they have this defense. They have the special teams, assuming they bring back both Morstead and Zerline. It's going to be on Joe to get the offensive line rolling, and they're going to have to probably overspend for a backup quarterback. But you know what? Do it. That's what needs to be done going into a do or die year.
100%. Well, rapid fire here. I'm just going to ask you predictions wise. What we see, Zach Wilson will be a blank in 2024.
Houston Roughnecks quarterback.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I find the Cardinals to be fascinating. Jets backup quarterback will be
Gardner Minshew.
Ooh, okay. I like that. Jets biggest acquisition of the offseason will be.
That's a great one. The biggest name is going to be Calvin Ridley. The offensive line they signed, I don't know. I could see them signing two guards and maybe a guy that could play both guard and tackle. I don't think it's going to be Tyron Smith. I hope to God it's not David Bakhtiari. But I think they're going to be, aggressive in the guard market. Let's go John Runyon and I don't know, maybe Kevin Zeitler on a 2-year deal, a little bit of an older player, but maybe he could be our version of Alan Faneca. If you want like a comp, he's not a Hall of Famer, but still a nice player.
Last two here, the guy that the Jets are attached to the entire offseason, the biggest name they're attached to the entire offseason that never happens and goes somewhere else.
I don't know if he's going somewhere else, but Davante Adams will not be a Jet.
Yeah, that's probably the one that he's either going to be a Jet and we're going to all be shocked or like there's absolutely no chance. I don't think there's like some in between where they almost had a deal. It's like the Raiders are either going to answer the phone or they're not.
When we see Pierce out tonight, yeah, we could probably ask him. He's been at the
same we'll ask him. Yeah, I know. him and McDaniels have been out and about. The biggest move in the AFC East, like the one that move that'll. It could be a Jets move, but the biggest move in the AFC East that people will talk about, it doesn't have to be at Rodgers level, but that type of move where it shakes up the division.
Tua's contract extension is going to be for a lot of money, and it's going to end up being a big regret.
Yeah, there's been some rumors of the numbers, and I just simply – I wouldn't pay Tua that.
I would not either.
Last thing here, the – person you've seen in the NFL Combine for the first time in person that shocked you in one way or another. Doesn't have to be good or bad, just most surprising thing you've seen so far.
Here's a great Combine story. Like, nowhere could you get the old coach of the Washington Commanders sitting three tables over from the current coach of the Washington Commanders. Like, you have Ron Rivera right here, and then Dan Quinn right over there. And I just thought that was so funny. You know, it was funny. We were out last night, and yeah, I told the Schottenheimer story at the beginning, but another Jet, you know, with Jet connections. How about Mark Brunell just casually just chilling, you know, in the sea of people? And I'm like, is he still mentoring Mark Sanchez? But it was cool to see Brunell out. I'm trying to think of other, like, Jet stuff. It's tricky because the Jets don't have a whole lot of their guys here yet. Sal is not coming until Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, that's what I meant to bring up. That was the other thing. Clearly, someone got in Sal's ear, and by somebody, it was obviously JD and Woody in some sense. That was the one thing, Ms. Presser, that was quote-unquote breaking news, as Joe Douglas said. Again, is it a big deal that Sal didn't speak? I don't give a shit that he didn't speak. It literally doesn't matter. That's not important. What is important is that I think he should be here because it shows, hey, maybe the last couple of years things haven't worked perfectly. Like, we're going to change up everything we're doing, whether it be me showing up to the combine or different way we approach scouting or different way we approach free agency. It doesn't matter. But, you know, there was a hit piece put out on him a month ago. He said nothing, and the Jets haven't addressed it at all. And, like, it just felt like I'm glad he's coming. It's just more funny to me that if, like, Jets Twitter literally bullied the Jets into making Salah come to the combine.
I think it's also an FU to the local beat, personally, that he's coming after they're all flying out, because I'm sure he's livid with the Athletic story. He feels betrayed by it. I'm sure just knowing the guy Salah is and the relationships behind the scenes he tries to cultivate with people, I think he felt burned by that. And, I, you know, honestly, I don't blame him, but I think that's part of it, too. Well, he's flying in Saturday and Sunday. All the Jet beat guys, pretty much all of them are gone today, or some of them flew out, you know, even yesterday.
Yeah, no, I just weird, weird stuff. But obviously, appreciate you for listening. Again, this will be out here shortly on Thursday afternoon. The workouts at the combine are officially underway as we're speaking at the moment. I'm headed over to the stadium to go watch. Me and Jake will be over there and having drinks later on this evening. Make sure you guys check out Jake's show again. He's had 9, 10, 11, 12 awesome shows this week. Tons of huge guests. So make sure you check that out. We'll be back. I'll be back here on Saturday and breaking down, kind of unloading the notebook per se. But Jake, appreciate you taking some time.
Well, this was a lot of fun. I will see you later, where I'm sure we'll be out late. Well, there'll be plenty of old fashions and whiskey sours consumed. And thankfully, I fly out tomorrow, so I don't have to work tomorrow. So
we're both out of here tomorrow.
I could let it rip. So I'm excited about that. It should be a fun night.
Awesome. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you guys.